Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we receive your love and say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We sometimes forget what a risk it is to say yes to love, to risk leaving everything behind in a kind of abandonment and surrender, to risk becoming vulnerable to all kinds of hurt and uncertainty. We sometimes forget what a risk it is to say yes to love. So we sometimes forget this amazing part of this Christmas story, the courage of this young girl, this young woman, Mary. We can dwell on her for a moment, what it was to be that first disciple, the one to say yes to God, to bring about this incarnation of an eternal love. I love this version of that moment of really, it's called an announcement by Gabriel, but in so many ways it's a request by Gabriel. God does not force God's self upon anyone. This one is by Dante Gabriel Rossetti, a beautiful version that's actually his sister Christina, who posed for Mary in this picture. Christina, we may know her as the poet in her own right, and who gave to us that wonderful hymn, In the Bleak Midwinter. Rossetti pictures Mary not with, she's kind of withdrawing against the wall here, but the look on her face is not one of terror, but of contemplation. She isn't the demure, obeisant Mary. She is someone thinking, okay, in all my perplexity, what are the ramifications of this for me? It's a similar view in this version by Henry Oswald Tanner, and I love his version of Gabriel in this picture, the beam of light, hard to see. There is Mary again in a corner, looking up with something between wonder and bemusement and what does this mean for me? Here's a beautiful modern poem by a man named Andrew Hutchins, who says this moment between Gabriel's asking and her answer, let it be with me according to your word, is the moment of forever. That story of the gifts of the wise men, the Bible never says there are three wise men, one of those trivia question answers. Well, the Bible also does not say how long was the pause here. How long did Mary contemplate what it was to say yes to love in this way? A pause that is forever. We're probably more often used to seeing this kind of version from the 14th century Giotti. And it is this version and the demure Mary quickly obeying that led to a wonderful poem by a woman named Leanne Murray Walker. She's written a wonderful book of caring for her mother during Alzheimer's called The Geography of Love. But she writes this, which is an interesting and imaginative construal that, well, you know, Gabriel might have been turned down before he got to Mary. It's titled, I'm going to let you follow as I read, Portrait of the Virgin Who Said No to Gabriel, for Henry William Griffin. This is the one Giotto never painted. She looked up from baking that morning, hearing his feathers settle and his voice scatter like gold coins on the floor. He told her, his forehead sweaty from the long trip. Me, she breathed. Oh, sure. But after he walked away, she couldn't forget his look, the strange way his feet rang like horseshoes on the stones, what she'd been wanting before he interrupted was not the Bach Magnificat, I can tell you, not stained glass, nothing risky, just to keep her good name. Small as she was, how could she keep in her heart those centuries of praise? But I praise her anyway, for wanting a decent wedding with napkins folded like hats and a good Italian wine. I praise her name, Lenora. I praise the way she would practice carefully making the L like a little porch where she could imagine standing to throw a red ball to some children she loved. I praise the way, year by year, she let herself see who that visitor was. Think of her collecting belief slowly, the way a bird builds her nest in an olive tree. Then finally, how one year, after the leaves fell, she was an old woman looking at the truth outlined against the salmon sky, knowing it was true. For not despising her own caution then, I praise her for never feeling envy, and for the way once she stepped past her fear to hand a cup of water to a thirsty carpenter painting by her door. In every room of this gallery, I think I see her picture. We don't sing Lenora's praise at Christmas time. But maybe we can identify with her. There are probably a few billion Lenoras in this world who, when given the chance to risk everything for love, have taken a step back in caution, thought about everything that there was to give up, thought about the pain that we might risk in being vulnerable in that way, God's love in our world. And cautiously said, no thanks. But I love the way Leanne, the poet here, beautifully says that love, you know, love didn't abandon Lenora. Love stayed with her patiently. Think of her collecting beliefs slowly the way a bird builds her nest in an olive tree. I love that picture. Looking at the truth outlined against the salmon sky, knowing it was true. Sometimes love takes a long time to dawn upon us. Sometimes we can go to church all our lives and never yet be filled with love. Say yes to love. Understand, yes, it's even for you, and I'm not talking about some esoteric thing. I'm talking about something that actually is born into our world and becomes concrete and lives and dies for you and gets divine hands dirty and messy and stables and with lepers and with the poor and on a cross and in a tomb. All those real things of real love. We can go to church all our lives and never have that grip us. But love is patient, and love is kind. And one day that truth might suddenly dawn upon you, maybe on a Christmas morning. And when that happens, never despise the fact you didn't say love or yes to love before. Don't be hard on yourself. It's a hard thing to do. It is so risky. And so Leanne is kind to Lenora for not despising her own caution then. I praise her. And for never feeling envy at those who said yes to love a long time ago and allowed it to change the way they saw the world and saw each other and saw those they loved. And for the way once she stepped past her fear to hand a cup of water to a thirsty carpenter fainting by her door. Love is patient. And when you finally say yes, you won't have missed the opportunity to live that yes into our world where there are so many thirsty and hungry at our doors. There is always a time, and it's never too late. We can't all be Marys, even if we stop to think that even Mary herself might have stepped back for a moment and run through the ramifications of this scandalous request in her young heart. But love is patient, and it's amazing what it can do. I love the story told by Jack Linghorn of his dental practice. He had patients who would never take care of themselves, would never, after he did dental surgery on them, they wouldn't look after themselves the way they should. But he had this one hygienist who somehow radiated love. And if he knew one of his patients, male or female, would not take care of themselves, he would send them to her. And somehow, because of the way she loved them, they would take care of themselves, not for themselves, but for her. It's the way love works. I hope you can see yourselves and feel the radiance of God's love for you, even if you're a little too cautious to say yes. And then there are those who take a long time. And I'll close with this story that was told by Jamie Yeo, not one of our Yeos, as rare as that last name is. But Jamie writes of his mother, and her story reminds me of the story of Diana and Wendy. Wendy, who died on Christmas Eve, and Diana, who died a few days afterward. Jamie loved his mom. She was an actress. She'd come from England with her husband. He was Leslie Yeo, and she was Hilary Vernon Yeo. And together they carved out quite a career in the early days of Canadian television. They were well known, at least to Canadian actors. And Jamie adored his mother. She had a beauty which was both physical and spiritual. In the 60s, she began to have some pains, and then there was a lump discovered. And after two slow, agonizing years, at the age of 52, she passed away. And at the age of 17, Jamie lost the mother that he adored. He was an only child, and she died just the day after Christmas. As you might expect, this changed a lot of things for him in the way that he saw his world at 17. And one of those ways, of course, was the way he saw Christmas. From that day on, he hated it. 1983, he met a young woman, and they fell in love, and she wanted to change his understanding of Christmas. At first Christmas together, she worked so hard to get him into the spirit, and he tried for her sake to acknowledge something of the season. They bought gifts and they wrapped him, but he says on Christmas Eve, he was so glad it was nearly over, as he felt again his mother's death. On that Christmas day of 1983, 10 years after his mother had died, he, as usual, was up very early, puttering around, unable to rest. And then about 6:30, from the television, he unmistakably heard his mother's voice. He was stunned because he had never seen anything that she had ever done on television before. They worked at a time when there was not video recording. The only way to record a program was actually to film it on a television monitor in the studio while it was done live, and that was kind of awkward and expensive and very rarely done. But he turned and looked, and there on the television that he had almost subliminally turned on, there was an unmistakable Christmas scene and two men in the picture, and off screen he heard his mother's voice, and then the door opened and there she was. He doesn't know how long he was sitting there when Val came down the stairs, but she found him totally mesmerized in front of the television, the tears streaming down his face. He, without a doubt, understood that it was his mother reaching to him. She had made that 20 years before, and it was 10 years after his death. But patiently, love had found him again to say, "Merry Christmas. My love is still with you." He never saw it again. He has never, in the 30 years since that broadcast, seen any of her reruns on television, Christmas morning or any other time. But he knows love found him. And it is the truth. And Christmas has changed for him forever after. We sometimes forget what a risk it is to say yes to being loved. But I am so joyful that God said yes to loving us and came down at Christmas that we might be assured, that we might know we have a God who is real and does not step back from us. I am so glad that God took that risk of vulnerability and suffering that we might know. And I am so glad that Mary also said yes to love. Let us pray. O gracious God, in this Christmas tide, let us know the reality of your coming. Let us open our hearts to receive you and even to say yes to being loved. In Jesus' name, amen.